Galatians chapter 6, if you would open your Bibles, Galatians chapter 6 will be the passage that we focus in on this evening. We're going to be looking at several others, so I would invite you, encourage you to open your Bibles and follow along with us as we study the Word of God. It's good to be out this evening. Hope you all had a good afternoon. It's a pleasure to be back after being on vacation. Went to Colorado, got to see some of the beauties of the Rockies, which is always a magnificent sight. Set of sights to see. I also got to see my brother-in-law, Mark Hoschel, who is still recovering from his cancer surgery. There's a place that's not completely healed in his colon, and that needs to be done before they can reverse the colostomy. He's had three tests, and it hasn't been successful as yet. But he appreciates your prayers and your concerns for him. Would encourage you to continue to do that for him. You know, when somebody becomes a Christian, a man or a woman, there's a certain excitement, a certain zeal that is characteristic of their life. They have moved from a place of sin and guilt and the drudgery that brings, that comes about with weight, with that weight, that shoulder of guilt in their lives, to a place of rejoicing because of the grace that's been demonstrated because of Jesus Christ. And there's a newfound strength, a newfound joy in their lives because of these new experiences that they have of prayer and of Bible study and of brethren that are with them and for them and help them and encourage them. But inevitably, with everybody, the newness kind of wears off. And sometimes there's a tiredness, a weariness, maybe even being burned out that sets in. Paul, God recognized this. Paul dealt with this a couple of times in his books. Notice in the Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9, he says, "Let us not grow weary in doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart." Might keep your finger here, but jump over to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, where Paul wrote some fairly new Christians here in Thessalonica. And he says in 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 13, "But as for you, brethren, do not grow weary in doing good." Jump back, if you would, to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Paul wrote a little bit more mature group here in time. At least, when he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16, "Therefore, do not lose heart." This is something that we struggle with as Christians. And it's not just something that new Christians, when the newness wears off, struggles with. Sometimes it's people who have been Christians for a while. Sometimes it's people who have been Christians a long time. It's sometimes easy just to get tired, to get weary. And so these admonitions, these repeated admonitions, do not grow weary in doing good. I'd like for us in our lesson this evening to focus in on, particularly here in the context of Galatians chapter 6, and notice some causes of weariness that are pointed out in the context. But we want to get to the solutions that God gives us to keep us from getting tired and weary in well-doing. First, some things that causes weariness for the Galatians. If you would, go back to the book of Galatians in the first chapter, beginning with verse 6, where they had a particular problem there in among the churches of Galatia. Paul says, "I marvel that you are turning so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another. But there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than that which we have preached, let him be accursed. We said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than that which was received, let him be accursed." They were dealing with false teachers, individuals specifically, who were saying that the Gentiles, and these Christians mostly were Gentiles, had to keep the law of Moses, they had to be circumcised. If you've ever been in a situation where there have been some false teachers, there have been individuals who begin to believe things that are not according to the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they're beginning to spread those within the group, it can get very tiring, very frustrating. It can get you weary because of the conflict, because of the division, because of the tension that that causes. In chapter 5, Paul further talks about this in verse 7 when he says, "You ran well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion does not come from him who calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump." Paul was worried about them because they had deviated from the path. They were doing well, but they had deviated from the path because of the false teachers that were circulating this Judaizing teaching. And because of that, those that were faithful, those that were trying to do what's right, I'm sure found themselves very frustrated, very overwhelmed, maybe even burned out, trying to stand for the truth when all of this garbage was being preached, all this false doctrine was being preached. And this wasn't true just in Galatia. It was true all over. There are warning after warning after warning in the Gospels as well as in the epistles, watching out for the false teachers. Are you weary because of all the false teaching that occurs in this world? And in fact, the vast majority of this world is following false teaching, not the true teaching. There's another source, and that is internal conflict that each of us feels. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 and 17, "I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish." You know, becoming a Christian, you would think everything's going to smooth out. The temptations that I faced, the sins that I was involved with in the past are no longer going to surface in my life. It's no longer going to be difficult for me to follow God. I want to follow God in everything. But it's not long before the new Christian realizes that the flesh is still there and the temptations are still there, the desires are still there, the passions, the lusts are still there in the flesh. And it gets wearying day after day, temptation after temptation, week after week, month after month, year after year. You're struggling, you're trying, but you're finding until the day that you die, there's going to be a struggle inside you. Are you weary yet? Well, there's another source of weariness in Galatians chapter 6, beginning with verse 1. "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." Bearing each other's burdens can be taxing. Not only the burden that you have with your own struggles in life, but someone else is struggling and they're losing their battle. And yet you have to go and shoulder some of their load. You need to go and try to mend them, to bring them back into fellowship with God. It can get very wearying. Not just the new Christians. This is really talking about those that are more mature, those that are spiritual. Particularly, I wonder, our elders, it seems like there's something constantly going on where someone is in need of some reassurance, someone is in some need of some admonition, someone is in some need of helping through some difficult problems, the weight that they must feel because of that. But not just the elders. You know, all of us have a sphere of closer friends, people that we know when they are struggling with things, and we try to help them, we try to encourage them. Sometimes they don't take that encouragement well, but we try to encourage them anyway. It can get tiring. It can get you weary bearing each other's burdens. The Apostle Paul understood what it was like to grow weary. In fact, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16, as we've already read, he says, "Do not lose heart. Do not grow weary in the good that you are doing." And he had many things. Let's go over to the book of 2 Corinthians and look in chapter 11. At some of the sources of weariness that Paul had to struggle with. Chapter 11 of 2 Corinthians in verse 23. "For they are ministers of Christ. I speak as a fool. I more in labors more abundant." Now the Apostle Paul is having a difficult time because there are some who are actually against him even though he's apostle of Jesus Christ. They're speaking against him. They're trying to undercut his credibility. And he's having to deal with that. And so he talks about all that he went through. Again, in verse 23, I am more in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequently, in deaths often. From the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus 1. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 I was shipwrecked. A night and day I have been in the deep, in journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness, in toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger, in thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. I mean, Paul had a very difficult life. It could be a life that he could say, I'm just tired. I just want to quit. I just want to lay in bed and not get up again. Because this life is so difficult. You know, we all have circumstances in life that are difficult. We have troubles. We have problems that we have to, difficulties we have to solve. And when we become a Christian, sometimes those are even exaggerated. Sometimes we have additional persecutions and difficulties and struggles and persecutions. I don't know what it would be like if I had just a portion of the circumstances that Paul had to deal with, how difficult it would be for me to maintain an enthusiasm, to maintain a positive attitude toward doing that which is right. The Apostle Paul, I'm sure, could have been overwhelmed with weariness, with all he had to go through. But he also, we continue reading here in verse 28, same chapter, 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Besides other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. Paul worked and he worked hard for the cause of Christ. He turned individuals away from the devil and unto God. But the devil was at work among the churches. The devil was at work among the lives of the Christians. Were these people going to continue to be faithful? Were those churches going to continue to stand for the truth? Were these groups still going to be edifying one another and being a light to the world? Paul was concerned about that. And that type of stress, that type of worry, when you're worried about something that you really don't have much control over, can be overwhelming at times, can make you weary, can make you tired, can make you just so that you don't want to raise your head off of your pillow in the morning. Physical problems Paul dealt with, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, he talked about in verse 7, a thorn in the flesh. And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of revelation, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. You know, it's one thing to go through some difficulty. You fall down and you hurt your thumb, or you sprain your ankle, or something happens that's a rather short-term, painful incident in your life, and that can kind of get you down. But when it's chronic, the Apostle Paul said this thorn in the flesh, he prayed for 3 times that it would depart, and it didn't depart. He had to continue to deal with that. Chronic pain, chronic physical problems, chronic over and over and over and over, you have to deal with something, and it doesn't seem to be going away. God does not take it away from you. It can be overwhelming. It can make you tired. It can make you weary. Let's go back to our original context. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9. We're necessarily implied in this. He says, and let us not grow weary in doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. I think necessarily implied in that is just the passage of time. We're not a Christian for one day. We're not a Christian for 1 week or 1 month or 1 year, most likely. We're Christians for week after week and month after month and year after year and decade after decade. Just the passage of time and the weight that puts on our shoulders can cause burnout, can cause a pressure on our shoulders that just makes us weary. So in looking at all of those causes, does it? It makes me feel a little tired just thinking about all of the things that can weigh us down. What do we do about that? How do we keep from losing heart? What solutions does God give us? Well, in all of the solutions that God gives us, we're going to have to change our perspective. We're going to have to start looking at things differently. And God helps us to look at things differently so that we do not grow weary in well-doing. And we go back to our original text that says, "And let us not grow weary in doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart." Three simple things God gives us here that help us not to lose heart, to help us not get weary in well-doing. The first of them is focusing in on doing good. Or as Linsky translates here, doing the excellent thing. There are a lot of things that you can get in life, get involved with life in, but at the end of the road, is it really good? Is there really anything intrinsically good in what you're doing? Well, if you're going to keep from getting weary, focus. This is a matter of focus. Focus, keep your perspective on doing that which is good, doing that which is right, doing that which is righteous. And when you do what is good, you're going to find that there's going to be an energy, a strength in that. In this same chapter, we'll read verses 9 and 10. "Let us not grow weary in doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity," here's the admonition, the focus Paul has for us here, "let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith." Truly good things God defines for us. And if we are involved with those things, we're going to find that the things that would weary us don't weary us any longer. I mean, think about the things that we have. False teaching. What can you do about false teaching? You can keep teaching what is right. You can keep teaching what is the truth. Now, you can't change the false teacher with anything else. If anything is going to make the situation better, it's going to be doing good. It's going to be doing what's right. It's going to be standing for what's right. And as long as you continue to stand for what's right, you're going to find strength and energy. You think about internal conflict. Is it going to make you feel less tired and weary if you give in? If you let the passions overwhelm you and you get involved with sin, that's only going to compound the problem. Do good. Make the right choices. Do what is good and what is righteous. And that is going to what's going to give you energy and strength to continue on with weak brethren. If you give in, if you get tired out, if you quit, is that going to make you feel any better? Is that going to make you feel more rested? Not at all. Do what is good. Do what is right. If anything is going to change a weak brother, if anything is going to help a weak brother that is going to give you more energy, more fruit to continue on, it's going to be doing what is good, doing what's right. In the circumstances of life, in concern for the churches, in physical problems, in the passage of time, what is it that can help you not get more and more and more fatigued, but help you to have energy to do what's right? Focus on doing good. It's very simple, but very powerful. It's a solution that God gives us. Do not be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. Do not be weary in doing good. A second thing that God gives us is, "For in due season we shall reap." There is going to be a harvest. There is going to be an end. There is going to be a time when we will be able to reap what we have sown. Notice in the same chapter here, Galatians chapter 6, we'll back up just a little bit in verse 7 and 8, where he says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. For he that sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Let us not grow weary in doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart." We shall reap. Do you believe that? It's a matter of focus. If you focus your life on the false teaching and you focus your life on the the fact the majority of the people are being led astray by the false teaching, you might very well be tempted to say, what good is it? The majority of the world is going into false teaching. I might as well follow that too. Don't forget there's an end. Don't forget there's a judgment day. Yes, there may be many who are following the false teachers, but if you follow that which is good, you follow that which is right, there is going to be a harvest. God does not settle all of the accounts on every single day. He does not settle all of the accounts every year. He does not settle all accounts in our lifetime, but He will settle all accounts in eternity. There is a judgment day. That judgment day will come, and those who teach that which is wrong, it doesn't matter what this world says. This world's trying to deceive you and lie, saying it doesn't matter what you believe, doesn't matter what you teach. Yes, it does. And on the judgment day, there will be a harvest. On the judgment day, those that do that which is good and that which is right are going to be able to, of the Spirit, reap everlasting life. The same is true with the internal conflict. When we are faced with this decision, when we're faced with the weariness of having to deal with all of this passion and desire and temptation that we have because of the flesh, there is going to be a judgment day. There is going to be a time when this old flesh isn't going to be with us in eternity. We're going to be changed. In heaven, we're not going to have the desires of the flesh. We're not going to have the desires of this body. This body is going to be gone. We're going to have a spiritual body. Now, we're going to have many things to do in heaven, and perhaps there are going to be conflicts when we're going to have to choose whether or not we're going to follow good or evil, or righteousness or wickedness. But one thing is not going to be there, and that is the desires of the flesh. We focus on that. We focus on the harvest time, and it will help us to get through that. Weak brethren, when we get to heaven, there are not going to be those who turn away, who lack faith, who continue in sin. But those who are righteous, those who are blessed by God, those who are forgiven, those who have had, as Adam talked about this morning, those who have had a Friday faith, a faith that's willing to stand, a faith that's willing to fight for what is good and what is right, those are the ones that are going to be there on the harvest day, surrounding God and praising God. We focus on that, the circumstances of life, the concern for the churches, physical problems, the passage of time. Focus on the harvest. Focus on the end. And that will give you energy. That will give you strength. Well, there's a third thing. Well, let me go back to Ecclesiastes. There's an interesting passage here. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, where the wise writer makes an interesting observation here. Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and verse 1. Solomon says, cast your bread on the waters, for you will find it after many days. Kind of an interesting way to say that. Put your bread, cast your bread on the waters, and you will find it again in many days. And you have probably seen before that if when you put something on the water, if it stays on the surface, the waves are eventually going to bring it ashore. It's not going to do so immediately. It may not do it as quickly as you want it to come back, but it's going to come back. If you do that which is right, there is going to be a harvest. Solomon says, look to that, be patient, look to that time. Recognize in the perspective of eternity how things are going to come back. He says in verse 4, he who observes the wind will not sow. He who regards the clouds will not reap. If all you're focused in on is what's happening here and now, you're going to find yourself not doing what you need to do. You're not going to sow. You're not going to do what you need to do in life now. You're going to be overwhelmed with the here and now. Don't look at what's now. You're not going to do the work you need to do. He says in verse 5, as you do not know the way of the wind or how the bone grow in the womb of her who is with child, so you do not know the works of God who makes all things. We don't understand the providence of God. We don't understand how everything works. We do know, because the Bible tells us, We do know there's going to be a harvest. We do know that eventually all things are going to work out to be good for those who are servants of God. That's what we have to focus in on. We have to focus in on the harvest. We have to, even if we don't understand it all, we have to focus on what God has promised to us. And when we do, we will find ourselves mount up with great energy and strength. And a third thing in this text is that he says, let us not grow weary in while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. We really just have to trust God. Number one, that things are good. And number two, that there is a harvest in due season. The problem is we want the good now. We want the harvest now. We want to go to heaven now. But we're not in heaven now. So we have to trust God that there is going to be a heaven so that we don't quit. That's the problem, is it not, with weariness? That's the problem, is it not, with growing tired? Is that we are tempted to just quit doing what is good and doing what is right. We're not going to be able to make it to heaven. We're not going to be able to reap that harvest, in a good sense, if we quit. So we have to continue to trust in God. Notice what Paul had learned. We look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul talking about this thorn in the flesh that he had to deal with. The difficulty of a prolonged, chronic physical problem. And he says in verse 8, 2 Corinthians 12, verse 8, concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Do you believe that? My grace is sufficient for you. I have been gracious enough. Does that mean that the physical problem is taken away? No, it doesn't. I'm not giving you that much grace. But the grace that I've given to you, the forgiveness of sins, the peace of mind, the principles of godliness, of life to follow, the hope of eternal life, that's enough. My grace is sufficient for you. Do you believe that? Do you trust that? Well, the Apostle Paul says, or Jesus says to the Apostle Paul, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And then Paul makes his observations on this. He says, again in verse 9, therefore most gladly I would rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distress, for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I am strong. How could Paul be strong in the midst of all of that? It's focus. It's what he dwelt on. It's what he thought about. You think about the difficulties and the things that make you weak in life, and you're going to get weaker and weaker and weaker until you're tempted to quit. You think about Jesus Christ and the grace and the mercy and the love that you've received, and you're going to find yourself with great strength. As a matter of fact, there's a powerful passage, I think, back in the book of Isaiah, where Isaiah talks about how we can find strength in God. Isaiah chapter 40, and we'll pick up the reading here in verse 28, Isaiah 40 and 28, where he asks the children of Israel, have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength, shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And the contrast there is that those who are young tend to focus on their own strength. Those who are strong tend to focus on their own power to get them through. But those who are weak, those who are weary, focus in on God, and God doesn't get weary. God doesn't lose his strength. You focus in on God, and God will carry you through. God will give you that strength. God will give you that energy. Yes, if we focus in on the trusting in due season, whose season is that? It's not my season. It's God's season. You trust in God, the harvest will be there. He will give you the power. He will give you the strength. He will give you the energy to endure even the most wearisome context. But one final point, and the lesson is yours. Here in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9, he says, "And let us not grow weary in doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart." Small little word there, isn't it? If. That's huge, because that's our choice. We choose whether or not we get so tired because of what's going on in life that we quit. We choose that. That's not forced upon us. No one has a life that is so difficult that you have to quit. Everyone has a life, even in the midst of difficulties, that they can choose God. They can choose to do good. They can choose to look to the harvest. They can choose to trust in Him, and they will have energy. They will have strength. They will never quit. They will continue to live by faith unto God. And in the end, they will have eternal life. So that's the question really for us, is it not? If. What do we choose to focus on? We will always have the things that wear us out. We don't focus on that. We will always have what's good. We will always have the end. We will always have our trust in God. And when we have those three things, simple as they are, powerful as they are, we will be able to endure. If you're not a Christian in the audience, we'd encourage you to become one. Yes, it is a life that has sacrifice and that is difficult. But God gives us the solutions so that we can end this life in a way that brings success, in a way that brings mercy and grace in a way that brings peace. If you're not a Christian, we'd encourage you to become one. Believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Repent of your sins. Be willing to confess His name before men and be baptized to begin a life of doing good. If you are a Christian and for some reason have turned from doing good, maybe you've just gotten tired and quit, we would encourage you to look back to Jesus Christ. Won't you come while we stand and sing?